Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Okay, I'd like to call at that time. I'd like to call council to order. You have an agenda that's been circulated. Other additions, deletions, Council Frelick?
I'd like to add 12.1 ripple effect update, please.
I would like to add under 13.4, motion to rescind the urban chicken bylaw.
Number was that again?
13.4. Yes, Deputy Mayor?
Do I need an 8.1 to remind people of the Mercy Forum this evening?
8.1 Mercy Forum. Are there any other additions or deletions from the agenda? If not, I'd entertain the motion to approve it as amended. Councillor Fisk, Councillor Frelick seconding, all in favor? It's unanimous and thank you. Are there any presentations to council today? There aren't. Are there any petitions to be tabled with council today? We did have one once. We got quite excited about it, too. Councillor Fisk was the... any comments from the public?
Yes, Mr. Mayor. Leon Robinson, College Street, Liverpool. Under 16.1, current law, with respect to the future and so on, I know the CEO is providing a report here and some thoughts of what they would want to do in the future. I didn't hear that now that you've hired or in the process of hiring a special projects coordinator, if that person would be able to work with the current club and on some of those items that were suggested there to be able to keep this facility operating in the future. Because if she's going to be looking at downtown projects and the waterfront and so on, and I think there's an integral part of our society here in Liverpool that to be able to keep this facility going. And finally, would that be something that would fall under the 150 project?
I'd refer that to GAO.
Yeah, I'd be happy to get back to you further on any other things. So the society that operates the Curling Club probably would be eligible to submit an application to the Canada 150 fund. I would think there are eligible streams in that, yes.
And I yourself, as the festival coordinator, would be able to press in and give some assistance there to get them on the right track to make sure
That project probably won't fall under her. We have a number of specific projects that she'll be doing, but that's duly noted.
They'll certainly be made aware of.
Yeah.
Thank you, Mr. Mayor.
Are there any other comments, points from the gallery? Okay. Thank you. And I would entertain a motion to approve the minutes of the council meeting of October 27th. Councillor McLeod, seconded by Councillor Waterman. All in favour, it's unanimous, and thank you. No updates on dangerous or unsightly premises. Deputy Mayor Norman, 8.1.
Yes, I was asked by our Director Jill Cruikshank to remind people of the Mercy Forum speaker series that's being held this evening, 7 o'clock at the Best Western. The speakers will be talking about the future of electric and hybrid propulsion for boats, and I invite everyone to attend. It's free admission, and it's always great to see people there.
7 o'clock.
Best Western.
And they've been well received, haven't they?
They've been well received. This is probably the fifth one. Yeah, fifth one.
Great. Any discussion, any questions of the Deputy Mayor on that issue? Thank you. Anything under corporate services?
Not this time, Mayor.
Okay, thank you. Anything under engineering and works, Councilor Waterman?
No, everything is up.
I thought you'd be quick to tell Councilor McLeod that you and your committee are people of your word and that you completed the Brooklyn project.
I've driven over the nice smooth road last Saturday, so it looks good.
And they have
and the community were really pleased with the cooperation between the workers and the project.
We have a really exceptional works staff. They really do great jobs.
They received lots of cookies and treats from some of the neighbors there too.
I don't know why they all aren't bariatric cases, because when they were downtown, Oscar kept feeding them with goodies too.
what I'm impressed about them is that when they do a job, it's done, and it's done right. There's no going back 5 years later and patching up a pipe that was laid right or anything. When it's done right.
You know, and we don't have a very full agenda, so we have a little flexibility, but someone stopped me the other day. Actually, I was having a cup of coffee and joined me, and this person is comparatively new to the community. And he said, you know, one of the things that this community doesn't brag enough about is the quality of its infrastructure, its streets, its pipes in the ground, its water system, and the fact that you've got a workforce that does excellent work, that you keep them employed pretty well for year-round at good wages, but it's all part of what we tend to just take for granted. But it is unusual for a community of our size to have that kind of quality work.
And when you do below ground work, if it's not a contractor, I'm not saying they all do, but they have that choice of, you know, skimming out and not doing a little bit cheaper, and once it's covered over, who knows?
That's right. Okay, sorry for that, but thank you. Finance, do we have anything on finance?
Not at this time.
Councilor Frelick.
We are, at this moment, we are releasing the press release at 9 o'clock about the ripple effect and what it's all about, and we're going to get Norm to give us an update on that.
We've got another of those first class.
Well, Mr. Mayor, I don't want to disappoint you, but no, there will be fancy presentations. However, we have, as Councillor Frelick indicated, we have a launch, liftoff, as it were, yesterday in the Advance, and I thought it was really neat that the Advance took the initiative to contact Ms. Killam, who you remember from my very clever presentation, was part of the inspiration for the ripple effect. And as Councillor Frelick indicated, there's a press release there. There's a nomination form on the back of it, of course, and now the real work begins, that we have to get people to be nominated. So, and we'll blast out the press release to other types of media. So this is our graphic image for the ripple effect, which I thought turned out quite nicely. Stylized drop and some ripples sort of signifying what we hope to do with the ripple effect. And if you just give me a minute, I'm going to try to find the internet to show you where you may find it, because it's live on our website, but I do not see an internet icon. Uh-oh. See, this isn't going to go near.
Let me go find Dana.
Near as well as... Okay.
That's fine. We don't need to...
Device, no. Uh-oh.
Hit the play button, see what happens.
You would have to minimize it.
That one?
Yeah. Nope.
No, that's crazy. They care.
You really shone last time, Norm, didn't you?
Don't mess it up.
You're killing it, Norm.
I'm killing it. Okay, you'll have to take my word for it that the ripple effect is now live on our website. And if I could find that, I would show you that the graphic image is on the main page, and on the drop-down menus on the left, then there's a link to download the form. And maybe if I talk long enough, Heather might come help me.
Going on the basis that behind every good man, there's a...
Yeah.
You keep talking.
I don't have anything else to say.
So Norm, tell us about... to work together with you.
Pardon me?
Tell us about... the opportunities to nominate, the different opportunities.
How you may do it?
Yeah.
Well, there's a paper copy, which you all have, that can be retrieved on our website or by visiting our department and getting a paper copy of it. You can download the form from our website. Folks can email us the information. They can call us with the information. And we're trying to make the nomination process as simple as possible. What we'll do this week, Counselor, is we will send out a copy of the paper form because we still hope to get nominations from volunteer groups for their own. We'll send out a paper copy to all 200 or so volunteer groups in the region. And as I said, now the real work begins. Hopefully people will start to nominate, and I'm happy to say we have one nomination. The young lady, Ariel Mahoney, from, I think she's from South Brookfield, who's doing the great work with 4-H
and
selling her turkeys and stuff. But in any case, that's my update on the ripple effect. And if sometime during the course of discussions we can get this started again, I'll show you on the website where it all is. But anyway, so.
Well, maybe we can all go to the website ourselves.
Sure you can. Sure you can. It's all there. It's all there.
Thank you.
I just have a question. Is it linked easily off the homepage?
Yep.
Okay.
Yep.
It's a big box. Okay.
Right above the notice that says that you're taped and the minutes are online, there's the ripple effect graphic that you just saw. So it's easily found.
Okay. Good.
Well, except for right now. Other than that, it's easily found. Okay.
Any other comments or questions on the ripple effect? I think it's a great program.
Yeah.
And
oh, it's gonna be
good
forever.
To see it started. Yeah. Great.
Yeah. Thank you.
Thank you. That brings us to item 13 on the agenda. And Councillor McLeod.
I'm waiting for the motion to be presented.
Wasn't it in your...
No, in the public hearing.
Okay, sorry, yes.
You don't need to consider
it. Technology. Yeah. Thank you, Ms. Watson.
Thank you.
Okay, Councillor McLeod.
I recommend that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality adopt an administrative policy respecting a development agreement to allow for the construction of two wind turbine generators on property identified as PID number 701-69180 and located in the mixed-use rural residential R5 zone.
Seconded by Councilor Waterman. Discussion.
Good thing.
You ready for the question?
Yes.
All in favor? It's unanimous, and thank you. That takes us then, Councilor, to 13.2, which is the, if I can find it, the Mill Village School.
Yeah, Mill Village School.
Just give me a minute. God. It's not a good system. Go ahead, don't let me hold on.
I would pass on the opportunity to make the motion to the councilor of that district, if that's okay.
Okay, thank you, sir. Thank you.
Mayor Clark, I'd like for the Council of the District to make that motion, if that's permissible.
I thought that seconding it would have been fine. Okay, but if you would like to do that, Councilor.
I so move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality declare the former Mill Village School located at 227 Midway River Road in Mill Village and identified as PIN number 701058 as surplus property, and that the staff be directed to request expressions of interest in the public respecting purchasing and re-proposing the property.
Is there a second? Thank you, Councilor McLeod. Seconding. Discussion. Theo, do you want to give us some background, or Mike? Mike, perhaps?
Yeah, certainly. As you're all aware, back in 2014, the end of the school year, the province saw fit to close the Mill Village School and transfer, I guess, the use of that property back to the Regent Queens Municipality. It's a circa 1960 typical rural schoolhouse on a fairly reasonably sized parcel of land at 5.8 acres. At the present time, staff doesn't foresee any municipal use of the property, and I guess we're looking at incurring some expense as far as maintenance and upkeep of that building via heat, power, insurance, and those sort of things that we have to keep on the books until we decide what we're going to do with the property. So, being that there's no foreseeable municipal use of the property, it's staff's recommendation that perhaps the public private interest may have an interest in the property. So it is our recommendation to seek expressions of interest to see what other alternate or if anybody's interested in acquiring that property for reuse.
Councilor Ingalls.
As opposed to the region just requesting interest, do you think we'd reach a broader audience if we were to commercially list it as a realtor?
It's a type of building, I guess, with the property with the building on it. Fairly limited market for a building of that nature. Certainly that is an option to set a limited time frame as far as listing the property and having it on the market and no activity. If there's no activity, then look at alternate means of trying to dispose of the property. So certainly that is an option.
I just wonder if if it's listed and in taking advantage of the multiple listing system, if someone from away may keen in on it and have some interest that would never strike us as possible.
I know when we had the Milton School trying to decide the future of that building, I sought expressions of interest from local real estate companies and didn't get any response. So nobody expressing interest in listing the property
either.
Okay.
Through the mayor to council, likely after we go through a process where we would put out an expression of interest, see if anybody's interested in it as is. We believe that the highest value actually is in the property, not the building. So there may be an opportunity if we go through this process and there's no uptake on it. It may come back where we recommend to demolish the building and commercially list it with some other available properties to sell. We think there's value in the land.
So Deputy Mayor Norman.
Further along that thought, have we determined the fair market value of that? So we've determined that a not-for-profit organization, we would have the ability to hand it off for a dollar, and otherwise we would sell it to anyone not-for-profit for the fair market.
Right.
Or if no one at all is interested, we take it down and then...
As we did with Milton in one instance and Gorham in another instance. Councilor Fancy.
If I look at the different market values, let's say the $45,000 to the $31,000, do we look at that as that's what it would cost us to tear it down? Or do we look at this as a...
No, the 31 is actually what the real estate appraisal firm has
right.
valued the property as vacant. If the building was taken off the property, that's 5.8 acres of land at $31,000.
Do we know how much it would cost to tear it? Or not at this time?
Yes, we had an estimate received from Brad. I don't have the number at hand, but I believe it was somewhere around, somewhere between 25 and 50, but I can't remember the exact number.
Yeah.
Councilwoman.
Has there been any inquiries as of yet?
Not to me, no.
I wouldn't recommend going too long with it because it is costing us $10,000 a year to heat and shore. And the fair market value for the land is what, 31,000. Plus we have the liabilities of the building. So in only four and a half years where there goes your 45,000.
We so agree.
Really, it's economic. As you look at the numbers, I would not sit too long. Either sell it or
knock it down. Yep.
Down it goes, and then sell the lot.
When I look at the papers that are attached to the motion and so on, and I see the plot plan, there's a little area that's cross-hatched. Is that the 5.4 acres, or is that whole lot that it comes out of?
No, that's the 5.8 acres of okay. school property, yes.
And we're under no obligation. Someone told me a while back that the land was originally expropriated for the school and that if we were required to turn it back in the case of expropriation.
No, I don't believe that's the
case. Thank you. Any further discussion? Are you ready for the question on the motion?
Yes.
All in favor? It's unanimous. Thank you. That brings us to
13.3. I move that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to amend its municipal planning strategy and land use bylaw, which would see the creation of a new tourist commercial C6 zone, and that Council rezone PID numbers 70261029, 701-17817, 701-77357, 701-77365, 701-77373, 701-77381, and 701-77399 from seasonal R7 to tourist commercial C6. And that a public hearing be held on December the 8th, 2015 at 8:55 a.m. in the council chambers of the municipal building, 249 White Point Road in Liverpool.
Seconded by Councillor Fisk. Discussion, Mike, do you want to take us through this one, please?
Sure.
I see the proponent is here.
Yep.
Mr. White.
Yep, I guess the applicant is the owner of the several parcels of land within what is commonly referred to as Cottage Country out in the LaBelle area. The area is currently zoned as seasonal residential R7, which the majority of properties are of a seasonal residential nature. The owner of the properties was involved when the original subdivision of the lands took place out there in the 70s and 80s, creating a recreational development area of approximately 1,500 lots. Within that area, I guess within the original intent, was to have a commercial rental development within that residential seasonal area. However, that never took place up until the request that has come in. Prior to 2009, as you're aware, there was no land use bylaw and planning policy that regulated land use within that area. So when those documents were put in place, the owners of the property were unaware that how that would affect their original intent of the property. So with that, they've applied to amend the planning strategy and land use bylaw to have a new zone created that would allow them a tourist rental cottage development within that seasonal residential R7 zone. When I look at the policy that's under the municipal planning strategy now, it
sets out under economic development, establishing zoning, which allow for a variety and scales of businesses and industries within the region. And as well, to build upon the strong connection between the region's natural environment and a vibrant tourism industry. And I think with what's being proposed here certainly fits well in with existing policy within the municipal planning strategy. So with that, a separate zone which will limit the use within that primarily residential or seasonal residential area to strictly the tourist, commercial or tourist establishment types of businesses. And they will, I guess these amendments will, although creating that new zone, will also be rezoning these properties to that new, if it's the will of council, to that new C6 zone, so that only these properties will be classified as the C6, and then in the future, should any other property owners within that seasonal residential zone wish to create a similar establishment, they would go through a rezoning process similar to what we've would typically go through. So I think it's within current policy as to being what's being proposed. So
discussion. Council Waterman.
I think it's a great idea. It's filling the void and something new for the county, and it's a cottage area. I think it will go over good, and I wish them all the luck.
Councilor McLeod.
And also a positive aspect of this application is once the establishment gets built and people come and rent or lease the cottages, it also gives good exposure to our communities and people may continue to come back or maybe invest in land later on. So that's the economic driver as well.
Councilor Norman.
Being familiar with that area, I think it is a good fit for there. I'm sure the applicant will do the land justice, and it's a good thing for that part of the county.
Councilor Inglis.
And I'd agree, as with Darlene, that's a part of my walking route, and right there is an underutilized area that's, you know, what, a 2-minute walk over to Annis Lake, and I'm a big fan of people coming to visit and bringing their money and leaving it in Queens, so I think it's exciting.
You've got a lot of walking, don't you? You've got a lot of walking areas.
Yeah.
I just like to haunt different places on my feet with my dogs.
Councilor Fisk.
I also echo that it's a great move for my area, and I hope it turns out well, which I certainly think it will, and I wish them all the best.
Okay, anybody else wish to speak on the motion? If not, I'm going to take the question. All in favor? It's unanimous. I had to wait for... Thank you. It's unanimous. Thank you, everybody. Now I'm going to ask Deputy Mayor Norman to take the chair.
Yes, and proceed.
And I'm going to move. I think we physically have to move to this one.
We physically have to move?
Yeah, I think so.
I'm actually going to get to sit in the room. I don't think you
can. Don't get used to it.
This is ridiculous. I love the new mayor.
I'd ask the media not to take photographs.
Get a selfie, Darlene.
I would move that the motion that was passed on October 27th, and I've quoted, that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality give notice of its intention to amend the land use bylaw to allow up to 5 urban chickens in the restricted residential R1, general residential R2, mixed use rural residential R5, and mixed-use coastal residential R6 zones be subject to special requirements, and that a public hearing be scheduled for November 24th, 2015 in the council chambers of the municipal building at 249 White Point Road, Liverpool, Nova Scotia at 8:45 a.m. be rescinded and that the issue be referred back to staff for further consideration.
Is there a seconder for the motion? Councillor Waterman. This is a debatable motion, so is there anyone? Mayor Clark?
When making this motion, I've gone through the motion that we passed at the last council meeting in detail. I've discussed its implications, and our intention was, I think, to try to liberalize the keeping of urban chickens. I think we have gone beyond that, and I think it's better that the whole matter be looked at again and reworked.
Councillor McLeod?
I'm surprised that this motion is before us. I wasn't aware of it as planning advisory chairperson. We discussed this at length many times in our meeting. We brought it to council several times. We've had a lot of public comments and that sort of thing. And I just feel that I'm not quite sure what else could be discussed regarding this other than the different zones that it might apply to. I mean, what more is there to discuss? We've gone through several options.
Councillor Waterman and then Councillor Frelich.
But I believe the motion went a little bit further than what we had intended it for it to do. Like the R2, we were concentrating on the R2, but it flowed out into the more rural areas. And I think it maybe should be tightened up a little more.
Councillor Frelich?
Can I ask what the problem is or what the problems are with the current policy?
Mayor Clark, do you wish to respond to that?
Certainly. The public perception at the moment is in outside of the Liverpool area that you may keep chickens. And in fact, a lot of people do keep chickens, and we know that they keep chickens in areas that, in like R5 and R6, where they are in fact limited now to keeping chickens on properties an acre or more. That public hasn't been aware of that. There are chickens being kept on properties smaller than an acre, and we have been aware of that. If you go through the letter of what was proposed, you will find that in R1 and R2, you may not sell eggs, and you may not slaughter the chickens. I'm not sure why you should be able to slaughter a chicken on a lot smaller than an acre in Caledonia, but not in Liverpool. If your 5 hens hit an optimum week, and all 5 hens are at their maximum lay, they can produce 35 eggs in a week, say 3 dozen. Sell eggs for $3.50 a dozen, so $10, $10 or $11 worth of sales, and we're saying you're not allowed to do that in R1 and R2. And yet, I notice on School Street, between Church and Waterloo, someone had obviously a surplus of squash. So he put up a box and was selling squash. There seems to be an inequity. You're not allowed to sell. Mr. Wynott, who's been the subject of some discussion in previous meetings, Mr. Wynott may not sell $10 worth of eggs in a week, and yet the resident on School Street is able to sell squash. So there are a number of inconsistencies. I think what we were trying to do, as I say, is to liberalize it, but in fact we have tightened it up insofar as the public is concerned. is the issue of roosters and how they be dealt with that needs to be looked at. I think at the last meeting when it was being discussed, I did ask the director of planning that about the age of chickens. There's no reference to age here, and I think that's the key when you discriminate between or differentiate between males and females. It's when what you're really concerned about is when do they start to crow. So age becomes relevant, and particularly if you're buying meat hen chicks, which I understand that very often are male, that becomes an issue. Though I think quite often meat hens are killed at about 12 weeks. So those are the problems I see in it, and with that I think it needs to be reworked back to the staff.
Any other comments? Councillor Fancy?
So I take it from what we're talking about here, we're not against this. It's just a matter of making it a little clearer so we don't run into spots where we're not following what, say, what we're going to do. If falls on somebody doing something that we have to ignore it. We want to be able to make it so it says the right thing so we don't have any complications later on. Somebody else goes back and challenges it for a different reason. So I take it that's all we're trying to do.
The existing bylaws exist.
Right.
Currently, in places like coastal and residential, where Councillor Waterman lives, presently there are many, many people raising chickens illegally. We focused our look on the Liverpool area. Since we have spent so much time thus far in this policy, it only makes sense that we make it right. And by making it right, that means fixing the illegalities that currently exist all throughout the rural part of Queens. We want to encourage people to raise their own food. We want to encourage farming. But yet, if you live in Port Lebert or West Caledonia, you need an acre if you're going to raise chickens, which sort of goes against the grain of what we're trying to do as a council. Therefore, and I don't wish to put words in Mayor Clark's mouth, what we're trying to do is to create a bylaw that is just for everybody in our county, rather than continually go through this again and again. It was an oversight on all of us when it came to the rural areas, but a little while longer and we can have a bylaw that is just for all and takes into account the rural parts of our county. And it's because of that that we would wish that we get a two-third majority to rescind this motion and allow staff to create a bylaw that is livable for the majority of people in Queens. Councillor Krellick.
I totally understand why you're doing this. I also wouldn't want to see this rushed again so that it comes before us and then we realize it's got other issues attached to it. So I would like to see a long span before it's back in front of us so that we can look at, and I know as planning, I'm sure that we'd be willing to help if there's anything we can help with. But we would want to see it here in 2 weeks. We want to really see it, the final
Councillor McLeod.
And in addition to the comments made, I think it comes into the enforcement aspect of the law once it's done, because initially the original one was non-enforceable, so we really have to put a really serious look at what's included in this and how it can be enforced, because that's the whole nature of bylaws. Why have them if you can't enforce them? Mm-hmm. So I would strongly suggest that.
Are there any other comments before I call for the question? Councillor Fisk.
I just want to say I totally agree with Councillor Fraley that we should make sure that we make this bylaw in good standing for the public.
And one council request, yes.
And also, I think the public are aware that we are doing our utmost to try to resolve and provide an opportunity for people to be permitted to have urban chickens or whatever classification you want to call them. I mean, we have done so much work and thought, and I surely hope that they understand we are not against this at all. We're doing our best to try to accommodate the community.
All those in favor, signify by saying aye. It's unanimous.
Oh, thank you. Thank you, Charlie.
Did that feel good?
I didn't even adjust the chair.
Oh.
Did you get your selfie?
No.
I'll tell you, she changed up there.
Thank you, Bud. Thank you. The next item is 14-1, and it concerns Queen's Place. I'd ask Steve to come forward, and I bounce the ball over to you, Councillor Fancy.
Thank you.
So I'll just, I'd like to bring before you.
Oh, excuse me. Councillor Fancy has a motion to make.
Oh, there you go. We're going to do it. Okay.
Third paragraph.
Okay. It is recommended that the Council of the Region of Queens Municipality authorize the addition of a 10-visit punch card to the membership options for the fitness center at Queens Place Americentre.
Is there a seconder for the motion? It's Councillor Fisk. Discussion. Steve.
Okay, just a quick background on this, what we believe will be a positive membership option for folks. We want to try the 10-pass punch card for fitness center. And this is so instead of time-binding people to, you know, 1 week, 1 month, 3 months, those lesser ones, or 1 day, that folks will have the opportunity to buy a 10-pass punch and use it at your discretion. There has been a fall off on 1 week and 1 month, and I believe, and the staff believes, this will help plug that gap. And, you know, we have people that live in cottage country, we have people that live in North Queens, and we have people that live in Port Jolly, et cetera, that live in farther outreaches, that this may also influence a few of those folks to take the opportunity to come to Queen's Place at their convenience and use a card. This has come forth in surveys and has been a common comment and is a common practice that is offered at fitness facilities. So we'd like to offer it.
Councilor Inglis.
This seems like a no-brainer to me, Steve.
Yeah.
Through the mayor, do you? You know, we built it for people to use. And I know, by example, my sister lives here part of the year, and part of the year she's in Alberta. This would be perfect for her because she might be here to use the gym 2 times and then back 2 months and use it 4 times and you know, the other group that you identified. We want our students that are off at university to feel like Queen's Place is home to them, and that's a perfect thing for kids that are coming and going on holiday weekends and over the holidays and school breaks. So anything that gets somebody to come in the door instead of to stay outside is a win for Queen's Place, and in the long run will be a revenue win, I'm sure. So it's a great idea, good package.
Thank you.
Councillor Fancy?
I, in turn, do like the punch cards myself. I've seen it work. I've seen it work in other areas for other things because we have it's a busy society, and it's hard to make commitments. So, but if you're going to buy in for a month or a week or month or whatever, you sometimes it's hard to know if you're going to be able to make it. So if you get punch cards, you don't have to worry about it. So you don't want to think about throwing money away to be able to join up. So I think it's a great addition to what we have.
And I'm sure that, I'll be right with you, Mr. Gerber, Councilor McClure, but I'm sure that it will be noted that this is the right time of year to buy stocking stuffers, and I'm sorry that the gallery isn't full of media so they can pass that word around for it, but yes, it will be. Yes, Councilor McClure.
Steve, is there an expiry date on those, or is
no.
it just when you use them up? Okay,
use it up.
So that's no problem with that, yeah.
It's going to allow access, and it should be revenue positive. Yes.
Just and again, we've got a short agenda, so I want to ask Steve a question while I got him in the chair. What's the Youth Fit program?
The Youth Fit that gets the young folks age 13 to 15 ready to go on their own in the fitness.
Yeah, and do they pay for that, or is that
no free service?
So that's certainly something we want to see lots of.
We'll probably, you know, with this punch card, get most uptake, you know, from university students again.
Yeah.
People in the outer reaches, shift workers, and people that don't want to be time bound. So it definitely should be revenue positive to us and allow greater access.
Something else that I think we should all be cognizant and promote is that, is public skate every noon hour?
No.
At what days is the public skate?
Now you're going to challenge.
Oh, sorry, I know.
It's a Tuesday, Thursday.
Well, you've got two adult and two parent and tots.
Two adult and two parent and tots.
And we try and work in that public skate on the
and what an opportunity for noon hour exercise.
Yes.
It's $2.
Yeah. And $2. We reduced it to a toonie last year.
Arlene and I are going to go someday.
Okay, if you can work that out for the right side of the council chamber.
We're taking
you. Are you ready for the question?
Question.
All in favor? It's unanimous, thank you. And that leads us to item 16.
I can only go around that way for a minute.
Which concerns the Curling Club. Who's leading this? Are you going to take us through this, or does it go to recreation? Goes to recreation?
No, it's not under recreation.
So there's no recommendation?
No.
Not under.
This is an information report just following up on the September presentation council from the Liverpool Curling Club. Just an overview that in September the Curling Club was in, overviewing that they have about $47,000 per year's expenses, $15,000 a year of revenue at the current membership. We've had a small bump up in membership to about 80. We've learned in recent weeks they would need about 150 to be sustainable over the long haul. So they're working on increasing their members to do that. The municipality has provided about $40,000 in assistance in recent years, a little bit more than that. We do have a funded grants program, which specifically would enable facility development assistance funding. So if there was ideas or opportunities to expand or improve on the facility, there's availables there. The ask was for water and for forgiveness on the water and sewer bill and snow removal through the UARB rules and regulations. We're not allowed to forgive water bills. So basically those equivalent to about a $4,000 per year ask, or $4,000 ask. The Municipal Government Act permits council to provide grants. We have a couple of policies in place, 1134, that council's approved that direct us on how the municipality provides grants. Which I've attached a copy of the policies to the report. In our review, one of the challenges of giving a $4,000 grant, just straight operating grant, is problematic, challenging, specifically where the benefit would be limited to the members of the club who are paying, you know, fairly low fee for it right now. So we feel that the existing policy gives us the appropriate direction to work with them on applications for improvements, and that's the overview of the information report.
Discussion. Councilor Deputy Mayor Nolan.
I agree with everything that our CAO has stated in this report. I've alluded to the fact in the past that there was a failing recreational organization in the district in which I represent, and when it was ready to close its doors because of large outstanding bills, and called a community meeting, and the people of the community realized that this was indeed the final straw. New leadership came forward, new people came forward. They work hard and they continue to work hard. In their first year, they fundraised almost $80,000, and they continue to look forward to the future. And that is the way that recreational facilities that are not owned by the Region of Queens, that is the way that they have to exist, because we do not have the funds to start bailing out recreational facilities in the Region of Queens that we do not own.
Anybody else wish to speak on this issue? Councilor McLeod.
I like the last paragraph where there's plans, or could be plans, for renovating and using the facilities on an indoor purpose for other opportunities like lawn bowling and soccer and baseball parks, that sort of thing. That's really something our community does need. And, you know, because we're weather conscious and we don't, can't always do things outside through the year, that's a real good move.
Councilor Inglis.
I was curious about that because I read that as well as Councilor McLeod did. Which is almost like using it as an indoor, as a field house. Mm-hmm. But the times that you use a field house typically would coincide with the curling season, wouldn't they?
So what I had put that in there for, and as Mr. Robertson mentioned, there is, for example, looking at that would be something that Canada 150 might look at. So the curling season goes from basically now, November, the end of October, to the end of March, I believe. So for indoor soccer, March, April, May.
Okay, sure.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
or indoor lawn bowls. And I'm not saying that that's the answer.
Hey, ideas are free.
Yeah, you know, indoor roller skating, I have no idea. You know, it would be, so I believe that applications and ideas need to look at that.
Yeah, sure. Thanks.
I think, I was going to say that I've been impressed with the new leadership. Mm-hmm. Deputy Mayor Norman referred to the changeover in West Queens. But I think that changeover has taken place in the Curling Club, and I think they're working very hard, and hopefully they continue to make it and reach out. I think the social program, too, is something that they need to keep looking at and working on, because I think there are quite a lot of new groups in the various communities that may not be aware of some of the suppers and so on that are put on, and an opportunity to socialize, have a drink and dinner, that kind of stuff. So I think the group is doing very well, and we'll be supportive within what we can be supportive of, sort of thing. Councilor Fancy.
I hear what everybody's saying, and I agree, but there's also, too, the fact that I think we always got to be aware, we cannot, as our CAO has mentioned, we cannot subsidize bills. Basically, so you can't go into that route, and we have given a lot of money to them. The other end of it is that we definitely don't want to lose a curling club. So I think it's something we should not just say, hey, we're not going to do anything, and all of a sudden we see it close. You know, that's the I don't want to walk away from here looking that way. You said about the assistance grant program or something that could qualify if they did that something or not, or I'm just asking.
Yeah, I mean, and perhaps Jennifer or Norm can review. We do have programs that are available, so if they had a project and wanted partial funding, okay, for example, expanding the kitchen to enable some of these sort of things, there's a number of eligible funding programs in the policy. I don't know if you want to.
It's a facility development grant. Anything that they're going to do structure related, so a specific project related to upgrading or renovations of the structure would fall under facility development grants for recreation.
And to pay a portion. Mm-hmm. They have to contribute themselves.
Yeah, we have a maximum on that. And the applications are due in April?
April 15th, yeah. 50% funding up to a maximum of two categories, $1,500 and $5,000. You'll hear me talk about the major category and the regular category. Up until fairly recently, there was provincial money as well for that, but that program right now is in a state of limbo. So you're quite right, Richard and Jennifer, that there are some facility upgrade grants available for this, these purposes.
Councilor Frederick.
In our response to this, when we go back to the Kerman Club, could we not include all those opportunities and the deadlines and some, you know, the fact that we will help them with those grants?
We said that we will.
We will, and we have. We've met several times at staff level. And those folks, they've been well aware of the different things we can do, but we can certainly reiterate that. And the suggestion is that we make their request fit our policies and procedures and precedent rather than trying to create sort of a monster, which is really where this is heading.
Let's work with them on any initiatives that they currently have in mind that, you know, and make them fit our program.
So is there any funding available for the rest of this fiscal year, or is this something they're looking at for? Cause I know that they're...
The new year.
It's the new year.
Well, there is funding available in... There's 6,200 remaining in community grants and programs, depending on what they develop. So I don't know if it's divvied up between the different programs,
yes.
But we do have some eligible funding remaining.
And when is that funding
But that would be application-based, and
yes.
That application deadline is passed?
No, it depends which application. There's 18,000 in my department's grant budget line.
Right.
The first 10 comes off the top in April, and that's 5,000 for major, 5,000 for other category. That leaves a $5,000 grant for all other categories. You see the other five categories?
Mm-hmm.
Stage one, tournament special events, sport travel, volunteer training. The other three was this year, wasn't utilized. It was for the hanging baskets in the downtown, which didn't materialize. So the other than the facility-based ones, there's a continuous intake for all of the other programs, and you'll probably see, for example, some tournament-based stuff over the winter at Queen's Place. So it's kind of a mix of some set deadlines, all the rest of the year it's a continuous intake, but it's project-based and project and activity-specific.
Criteria-specific.
Yeah, staff are suggesting that that's the way we channel requests in the curl if we get them, that not... to create, not to have our money fit what their need is, which is operational funds, which we have never funded for sport and recreation facilities.
So basically, we're kind of waiting for the new year for the application-based programs.
So you're talking operational grants to organizations. That's what you're referring to under grants to organizations. We do not fund operations.
We don't fund operational deficits. We kind of go with specific events, specific projects.
Excuse me, am I misreading the thing? But grants to organizations specifically excludes. It's not council's intention to provide grants to organizations that limit their activities to a select group of individuals. That would seem to me to specifically
membership
exclude the curling
club,
so that it would become the one you're looking at. Then is community recreation grants and program guidelines. Is
that's
that right?
Right.
Okay, any further discussion on this issue? If not, thank you. So that concludes the open part of the agenda. I would entertain a motion to go in camera. Moved by Councillor McLeod, seconded by Councillor Fancy. All in favour of going in camera? It's unanimous. Let's give ourselves, if we will, 10 minutes. So 10 past 10.